slides.
Congregating in here, stones are starting to form, and then they end up with all stones.
Okay,
How does the Gulf Coast form again?
I know it's really...
I think you have your violence getting real concentrated.
So
concentration is starting to form. If that model to move out and stay there for a long time, still that's a cycle.
Is that so sludge is the starting of that? Also, I noticed we used to do a lot of Indians, Native Americans. Almost everyone has also. If we did an Indian and we didn't find also, she thought we missed it or something. And you know, a lot of perspective. And that's either diet or vegetarian, I'm not sure what. Almost all people also.
So what is the correlation between the pregnancy and that? I mean, some people have gallbladder gets kicked out of there.
Yeah, I think activity in gallbladder is probably not exactly the hormones. Maybe it's probably more.
Yeah. You get 80.
Eat that.
Okay. That's good for you.
Okay, this lower portion is where this connects. This is typical. But if you're doing a procedure in surgery, the operative planogram, everybody doesn't have a formation like this. On some patients, this will come down and connect over here, and then the pancreatic nerve comes in separately. Most of the time, you'll have something like this where they combine, and then they both form together here. But sometimes they'll be separate ducts that have to go into the line. So if you see that, don't think, you know, there's something wrong. There's a lot of variation. No, it's just, it was probably German scientists that discovered that.
I have a question. It doesn't perform two different ducts.
You know, I'm not really sure. I'm not sure if there's a separate, I'm sure one of them. I don't know how many.
Not a short.
Well, not wrong. And this would be an area of stones a little wide. See how it narrows down right in here? So if you have a stone coming down, but here's the ampulla, and then it narrows down. So right in this area here, we start to get the ducts. So either at the neck of the gallbladder or down here. Okay, if we want to image the gallbladder, we want the patient to be in. If we want the gallbladder to drain, if we're going to do a secret case study, then we want the patient on their back supine, so the gallbladder, because gravity will force the bile down the ducts. So if we want to image a gallbladder, the patient's PA, if we want to see how the gallbladder is functioning, then we want the patient AP.
All right,
AP on them. Usually it's like an RPO, slight RPO, but they should be, you know, mainly supine on the back. Okay, different positions for the gallbladder. Average patient, approximately the L1 level, and then midway between the midline and the lateral part of the abdomen. Right in the middle there. About 2 inches higher and more to the outside. For a larger patient, for a thinner patient, who's down about 2 inches and close to the midline. And it's variable on everybody. That's the reason for doing the skeletal. Find out where it is. Then go in and do your other tests. When you do your other tests, you want to cone in as tightly as possible, which is less scattered, because you don't get a lot of contrast off the gallbladder. So you need a low KV, and you want to cone in as much as you can. This is a good film. Good collimation all the way around. Here's the gallbladder. Here's the iliac crest. So this is a fairly small patient. There's a gallbladder hanging down right over the crest. Got a slight oblique. You can see the Scotty dogs with patients in a slight oblique position. Just, you have to see the ducts. You don't always pick up the ducts when you do in this patient. But really, that's concentrated gallbladder. When you do this oblique, you're trying to get the gallbladder off the bowel gas, and you're trying to get it off the spine.
That's very
exciting.
Well, you see
this guy
dog, isn't it 45?
Yeah,
that's
roughly 45. It'll vary on everybody.
The more you look at the patient, the more it swings out to the outside of the eye.
You can't really see anything there, right?
No, I mean, that's a normal gallbladder. Oh. That's a real nice image. Okay, these are the ducts. This happens to be an operative. So here's the catheter. Where is that catheter being attached? There's a little remnant of the cystic duct. Here's a little remnant of the cystic duct right here. If the cystic duct was right here and came down this way, what would be right here? The gallbladder. Right, so they took the gallbladder off, they cut the cystic duct off, and now they have the catheter attached to that little segment right there. So here's common bile duct, right? Here's hepatic duct, common hepatic duct. Then we got the left and the right hepatic ducts come from each side of each little liquid.
Look at that little piece
of hand.
Right.
That right there, I'm not sure.
That looks like the left
That's what I thought was the
left remnant from the cystic duct. Yeah, it's probably a duct cutting off for us. What's this guy down here? That's what the water is, right? Yeah, the contrast is now filling up the door. Now, what the surgeon does is he has to be very, very careful that you don't get air in here because air is going to look like stones. So if he injects a little bit of air, it's a problem.
It's
a surgeon's fault.
It's
a scrub
tape's fault.
Okay.
Seriously,
that
was a job.
Make
sure you get the air out of the
box.
He's actually doing the injecting.
No, but he's only
going in.
He's not preparing. Are the real thin things that kind of look like... The real thin things that kind of look like, tree branches?
Mm-hmm.
Are those...
Those are all bile ducts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they call them bile radicals. All branches off right here. And this is normal. This is all normal all through here. That's what
where do they go?
Into the liver.
They're everywhere.
Oh, they... Okay.
All over in the liver.
And that's all in the liver.
So it just all kind of sips down into that one duct over there.
Mm-hmm.
The catheter that they put into the...
Yeah, right here.
Where does that drain?
Eventually they'll take the catheter out. When they're done with this test, they'll take the catheter out and suture that up. So there's no opening.
Well,
So that's only in just for the exam.
Okay.
And the reason they're doing this is since the patient is in surgery and they have them opened up, if there's stones in the ducts, they want to get the stones out right then and there. Now sometimes they don't get all the stones.
And that's why they do that.
Well, that's to see where the stones are. That's what they need to do for. Now, another reason is, let's suppose the patient has 20 stones, and they take out 15, and they think they have all of them, they can't get the rest out. Now they'll put in a T-tube. And now they'll send the patient down to radiology in a few days, and they'll ask the radiologist to do a T-tube exam to see if there's any stones still remaining.
So
then
they use a vascular
that way? You can use a vascular that way during the T-tube. The whole
nice.
I'm a little friend up
with
him. I think he might have robbed
me. He's like my other car.
Is that Casey and
Bill? Yeah, my pleasure. Yeah. How'd you know that?
Some things run around there like dogs all
day. Yeah. They're pretty humble. You praise Jesus, man. Yeah. Okay, position names for these guys. Okay, this is on study guide. I think you're aware of this, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's fine. Okay, yes. And this, I think, Holy cystography is a study of gallbladder, bile and sac from gallbladder. Myogeography, bile ducts, bile, angiomatous vessel or duct. Okay. Holy cystol, angiography, gallbladder and ducts. Okay, if you look at this gallbladder, this is actually in the same scalp, but you don't need a 14 by 17 for the scalp. You would know the gallbladder is going to be in this region, so you can't have that call. If you look at that gallbladder, do you think anything is wrong with it?
Yeah,
it could be two stones, or it could be air, it could be volatile. So now what you want to do is do an oblique. And if those things are still there, it's probably still. If they're not there, you're off the bottle.
Oh,
that's huge.
So it could be either. It could be ball gas, it could be snow. But I think on this one, I think it is chocolate. From some type of snow.
Yeah, what is...
Are you talking about the square things over there?
The mineral water? Those two. Big round things. Those could be large stones.
Wow.
No, they're probably not causing any trouble.
No.
Because they're so large. So they'll probably sleep in that. They should have no sleep.
You know what?
Yeah. Well, they can't. They used to try to shatter, but that's a
bigger problem. Well, yeah.
So anyway, yeah, some parts of the company developed this medication where you can resolve these pills and shut it down. So we would have to measure all this stones, all the stones. So then the patient would come back in a month, and they want us to measure stone cancer. Well, how do you know which stone we measure? There's five of them, they're all floating around together. So, you know, you're saying, well, this one measures 3 millimeters, and they come back, and well, which one was the one that measured 3 millimeters?
Well, if you had gallstones that were that large, though, wouldn't that really hinder the function of the gallbladder?
Maybe a little bit. It's not blocking anything. So unless the patient has pain, why go in and do surgery? When can you do an oral colonoscopy if they have liver or renal disease, because they won't be able to process that test. So you don't want to give them iodine if they're not able to process that and make things worse. If they're vomiting or have diarrhea, you have to get the capsules they take down into the system to absorb. So if they vomit, they're not going to get down there. And again, we're using iodine, so if they're allergic to iodine, you don't want to give them anything orally. So ultrasound prevents all of these problems. Don't worry about that.
Or
another, well, better indication, have they had any other type of X-ray test, CT or an IVU, and they have a reaction? Because now they're going to be more sensitized.
Oh, yeah. That's what I mean, like, is this going to be,
if they should have this? Yeah. Sometimes they'll know. Now, this is oral, so usually it's not going to be real bad, like an injection. You inject the iodine, they may react to this, but usually it's not going to be real bad. Most of them. Oral is not as bad as the injectable. Okay, if you give the patient the pills, they come in all types of form. There's granules, there's capsules, there's pills, different manufacturers make different ones. Now, some radiology departments when they used to do a lot of these, they wanted the patient 2 nights before to have a big meal. So the gallbladder would really get really full. And then they wanted to shrink down and all that. Most places follow this. The night before, fat-free diet. So again, a lot of patients don't know what fat-free means. Them cheese is fat-free. So, you know, this is things like salads and vegetables.
Lots of dressing?
No dressing. If we don't for 8 hours, if they eat, the gallbladder can contract down. So you don't want them to eat. Same with the dumb chain smoking, that's not really as important. And the number of pills, now some radiologists I used to work with, they should double up his dose. And they would put some type of dose. Just to try and get more contrast. Or they would do a 2-day dose, give this one night, and then the next night, get another 6 to 7 weeks. But again,
this is usually not being done in the
Well, are we actually going to be dispensing medicine or injecting people with stuff that doctors are going to do that, right?
Yeah. That doesn't be done by construction as well as pharmacy.
But based on our information.
Okay, these are the questions that were on the and again, even if you ask the patient directly, you don't always get the correct answer. Sometimes you have to find ways around.
If you should suggest, what did you have this morning when you woke up?
What is the breakfast?
No.
I like your typo. Did you eat?
Oh, what were that? So did you eat breakfast this morning? No wonder they didn't answer correctly.
Yeah, well, what's communication wrong?
Did you eat breakfast?
Each and every morning.
And actually, this question here, it's almost like asking it too late. Because if they're pregnant, you don't want to give them the iodine. And they have that already. So yeah, you're going to prevent them from being radiated, but they probably shouldn't be taking extra iodine and all this stuff. Which by the time they get through, they have that. This should be asked by the receptionist when they're scheduling the exam.
Do they have that in classes?
No. Okay, low KV when you want to look for the gallbladder. Self film, 10 by 12. Once you find out where the gallbladder is on the scout, you'll then do an LAO, right? Gallbladder is on the opposite side. It's swept away from the abdomen toward the outside. So you do an LAO, and then you would do either a decube or an erect. Because it wants the stratification. Okay, this is an ultrasound of the gallbladder. This is the gallbladder. Ultrasound. Everybody listening?
Ultrasound
of
the gallbladder.
Ultrasound travels through fluid extremely well. So wherever there's fluid, water, bile, blood, anything like that. This is bile in the gallbladder. So the ultrasound beam is traveling through that very quickly. As we get through there, now we're hitting soft tissue. This happens to be the intestine right in here. And then we're seeing parts of the liver right through here, and kidneys actually come in right here. This is an organ on the kidney.
I
know
that. I'm like, where's the baby's son?
I'll bring the ultrasound to my daughter. You can really see.
This is the body, and this is the neck. This is where the stones are going to get right here. Now, a lot of times, in fact, here's the blood. We're seeing the count of vials right here. This round thing right here is important.
Okay.
All right, here's the diaphragm. This is the diaphragm separating the liver and the. And this all is liver.
So that's a normal gallbladder.
This is a normal gallbladder.
So stones would be there. It's all white.
Usually, it'll give it a. There'll be a dot of white.
Okay, so if there was one in the middle, it would show up as a grayish white.
Yeah. So the little ones in the neck of it aren't...
No, this is actually the end of the neck right there.
Right, and there's two spots when you go up from the neck. There's a little one above there.
That's on the wall. Okay.
Where do you say the kidney
is? Kidney is this whole deal right here.
Wow.
Well, we're going to get into that.
Well,
look at the right side.
Oh, okay.
This is the collecting system of the kidney. This is where the urine's collecting. The urine's fluid, so that's why this is free.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of looks like a fan type pattern.
Yeah.
Shit.
How long does it take to learn to read those?
Yeah.
It's difficult. I had a student in ultrasound. He was an engineering student that passed and graduated from U of A in mechanical engineering. And he thought ultrasound was really tough. He had a hard time. I mean, he's an ultrasound technology that was really well during the training. And he made it through engineering. And he says, the trouble is, in ultrasound, it's like, could be, but doesn't have to be. Whereas in engineering, usually it's either is
right.
or it's not.
This is interpretation, and the sonographer actually makes the diagnosis.
And you can make that. You can make stone appear
exactly.
there,
mm-hmm.
and you can you can make it look normal or abnormal.
You can manipulate.
Mm-hmm. You really have to know what's going on.
But how long has the school? How long is the school? 18 months.
That's
great.
Very stressful.
Okay, good things about ultrasound, no ionizing radiation. So we can see very, very small capture light compared to X-ray. No contrast is given, and only about a 4-hour prep time. You're at the emitting 99 and black blueprint. Okay, in surgery, the reason you would do that, maybe there's pulling lips in there somewhere. You want to make sure the bile ducts are open. Just make sure the ampulla is functional, and there might be masses in there possibly. Sometimes it's to be done with the CR, and you can do that under fluoro, or sometimes you have to move a portable X-ray unit in there. And if we were talking about this before, if you do an image this way, and the bile ducts are over the spine, you need to tilt the table. And when you tilt the table, because you're using a portable X-ray unit, you have to take the grid, because you're going through an abdomen, right? The real high thickness you're going through, so you're using the grid. So you have to make sure you turn the grid 90 degrees, otherwise, once you tilt the table, the grid is going to be off, and you're going to be going through the grid lines. And that's a common mistake. I used to see techs do that all the time. You go in surgery, one film came out, the surgeon says, let's, you know, tilt. Still, the next one, there's no women, it's because they're going across the grid lines. You've got to take a set and turn it sideways. Usually, when you do that, there's a little opening underneath the table, and there's a metal sheet, sometimes called a cookie sheet. And you put your film on the cookie sheet, and you push the cookie sheet in there, and hopefully you're going to be over the center of the problem. In most ideal situations, you go in there before the patient has surgery, and you do a scalp film. Find out where everything is, you know where to push the cookie sheet in. And then they call you in later on in surgery, come to you fully. Okay, you kind of know where to put the cookie sheet, you saw your scalp. Sometimes they'll do an exam without a scalp because they didn't think they would need an X-ray. Now they call you in there. Patient's all draped. They're not even draped up yet. They have to start a procedure. Patient's draped up. You don't know how big the patient is. You don't know where the gallbladder is. So it's kind of like a shot in the dark. You're hoping to get your image in your center. And that's why, you know, surgery can be really stressful when you're up doing that. You don't always have, you know, everything is in a certain line and you do things, you know, a certain way.
Plus you got to watch, you don't contaminate.
And you definitely have to watch, you don't touch anything. When the sterile drape is on here, you have to get the back of the drape lifted up, put the cassettes in without touching anything on top of it. And you got cables hanging out there, and you just have to be really careful.
Yeah.
Most of the time, the surgeon will point where he wants the center. Sometimes he'll press in, and the blood will form a little, you know, a circle or a blood
oh, yeah.
And then you know where to center. Sometimes he'll just indent the apron a little bit, so you know where to center. Okay, your responsibilities. Yeah, here's the surgeon showing you where to center. He's only going to inject 6 to 8 cc's, and a lot of times what they do is they take the contrast and they dilute it. And the reason they dilute it is because they say it reduces spasm. So the trouble is, you give them a solution and they can fill their concentration. Now they add saline to it, so your concentration is less. So now when you do your filming, it's going to be really tough to see the drug because it's diluted out so much. So you may have to drop your KV even more than your normal numbers. Possibly RPO if you do, make sure you put the grid in the second process. So here's the patient all draped up. It's really hard to see. Is that a thin patient? Is it a heavy patient? And one thing that happened once in a while, here's the X-ray unit. Here's the collimator. I remember a tech was in there once and a little knob fell off into the field. You ever see that Seinfeld with the
jugular
mitts?
Yeah.
It was almost the same type of thing that happened in surgery. You know, knobs are falling off the unit onto the sterile field. Where you got these cables hanging down, and you bring the tube down, and the cable hits the sterile field.
Oh.
Be aware of everything when you're doing this. Okay, and this is the operative plantogram. Okay, here's the catheter. I'm in right here. Okay, so he's injecting, filling up the bile ducts. It's filling the common bile duct and filling up the blood. Now, this one's off the spine, so that looks pretty good. We probably don't have to take another one. Now, usually what they do is they want the radiologist to review this before they sew the patient back up. So now when you're using digital, it's not too bad. You can transmit it to the radiologist in the department, and they can get a message right away. But what we used to have to do is take the cassette. You used to have to take your suit off or put on a bunny suit, because you can't be walking around the hospital with the surgical scrubs on. You have to go through the radiology department, find a radiologist, have them interpret this, go back to surgery, redress, go back into the surgery room, and tell the surgeon what the diagnosis was, and it might be another film. So now you've got to take another film, go back to radiology. In the meantime, they're yelling because it's taken so long that you're gone, and the patient's under anesthesia. It's a lot of fun.
You
didn't
have
time
to take.
Sure.
Okay, I think we'll end here for now, and then we'll continue after we do have the model.